Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Nedarim, daf Lamed Ches. We are holding on the top of daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. We are at the third line of the page, Amar Rav Acha Bar Ada. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer, in honor of his wife and children, and Le'ila Nishmas, his mother, called the Basimcha La'ashalom, the Neshama Shavn Aliyah. We thank Dr. Landerer for continuing to sponsor the daf Yomi Shir each and every day. So we are holding at the top of Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, and the Gemara is going to tell us a little bit about Moshe Rabbeinu. So first it's going to tell us about a particular pasuk that describes Hashem talking to Moshe Rabbeinu and how in Eretz Yisrael they would divide that pasuk into three different parts. The Gemara is going to tell us about the Ashirus of Moshe Rabbeinu and where that came from. And then the Gemara is going to discuss a Hava Amina that perhaps the Torah was only given for Moshe Rabbeinu and his own children, his own descendants. The Gemara is going to challenge that from three different places and therefore modify that teaching, that it can't possibly be that the Torah was only given to Moshe Rabbeinu's family. Then the Gemara is going to discuss the milos that a person needs in order to be a Navi, and all of those milos are derived from Moshe Rabbeinu. So we're going to have to show how we know that Moshe Rabbeinu had all of those various milos that are necessary in order to be a Navi. The Gemara is going to describe other Nevi'im that were also Ashirim, that it wasn't only Moshe Rabbeinu, but all Nevi'im were Ashirim, and we know it from Moshe, from Shmuel, from Amos, and from Yonah. And the Gemara is going to prove that not only was Moshe, but Shmuel, Amos, and Yonah were also very wealthy people. And then the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to continue in this series of Mishnayos about what a Mudar Hana'a is allowed to do for the person that he has this neder with, what you can and cannot do. And the Gemara is going to specifically focus on a shidduch, when there's a neder hana'a between the son-in-law and the father-in-law. So are you allowed to make a shidduch, and doesn't matter which direction the neder hana'a goes in? And the Gemara is going to discuss other issues relating to mudar hana'a, what you can and cannot do. That's going to bring us all the way to the Mishnah on the bottom of Lamed Ches Amud Beis. So let's get started. The third line of the page on daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Acha Bar Ada, b'marav pasuk ladin psukim l'tlas psukim. In Eretz Yisrael, they would take the following pasuk and they would divide it into three psukim. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, hinei anochi ba elecha ba'av ha'anan. That's not the end of the pasuk. The pasuk goes, ba'avur yishma ha'am b'dabri imach v'gam b'choy yaminu li'olam v'yagin Moshe es divrei ha'am El Hashem. So we have that as all one pasuk. Shemos Perek Yutes, pasuk Tes. But in Eretz Yisrael, they would have it as follows: Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, hinei anochi ba elecha ba'av ha'anan. That's one. Sof pasuk. Then ba'avur yishma ha'am b'dabri imach v'gam b'choy yaminu li'olam. Sof pasuk. Then vayagin Moshe es divrei ha'am el Hashem. Why would they divide it into three psukim? So Shita Mukbetzes writes just very simply that in Eretz Yisrael they finished the Torah only once every 3 years. They didn't finish the Torah, the reading of the Torah every year. So they would try to make as many psukim as they could out of the Torah, because otherwise the parshios were just too short. Very difficult to understand why that would be okay, that you're allowed to just start chopping up the Torah. There must be something more over here. So the Marsha writes in Maseches Kiddushin and Daf Lamed Amud Aleph that the reason for dividing it was because it helps in understanding what the message of the pasuk is. Because if you read it as one pasuk, it would sound like it's saying that Hashem is coming to Moshe Rabbeinu ba'av ha'anan so that the people will listen to him. But that's not what the pasuk means. The ba'avur yishma'am b'dabri imach is going on the hemshich of the pasuk, v'gam b'choya aminu li'olam, that because the nation will hear that Hashem speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu, they will believe in Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's why they divided the pasuk. And the fact that they chopped off the end of the pasuk of Vayagid Moshe Divrei Ha'am El Hashem, that's because we don't find in Kol HaTorah Kula, says the Marsha, that one pasuk is going to tell us both the Divrei Hashem LeMoshe and Divrei Moshe LeYisrael. It's always divided into separate psukim. So that's why they had divided it into two different psukim, to split up Hashem speaking to Moshe and when Moshe then spoke to Klal Yisrael. Amar Rabbi Chaim Ruchanina, Lo Hevshir Moshe Elam Yipsalasu Shal Luchos. Moshe Rabbeinu only became wealthy from the psolas of the luchos. Shenemar psol lucha shnei luchos avanim karishonim. What does it mean? Lucha psol tan shel lucha yehei, that he had to chisel out this very expensive stone in order to write the the messages, the Aseres HaDibros, on the Luchos. So what happens to all the chiseled pieces of that very expensive stone? So he got to keep that. And that's how Moshe Rabbeinu became wealthy. The Marsha writes that you shouldn't say that Moshe Rabbeinu became wealthy by being paid from Bnei Yisrael through teaching them Torah, because we just learned that a person has to be Malami Torah Bechinam. And that's perhaps what this teaching is doing over here. It relates to what we were just talking about, that since he can't get paid to teach Torah, so we had to know, how did Moshe Rabbeinu get wealthy? Well, it wasn't from teaching Torah. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave him this opportunity to be able to keep this very expensive stone, and that's what made him wealthy. Amar Rabbi Yosef Reb Chanina, Lo Nitna Torah El Lemoshe Ulezaro, a very surprising teaching, that the Torah initially was only given to Moshe Rabbeinu and to his own offspring, and not to the rest of Klal Yisrael. Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, Ksav Lecha, and it also says, Psal Lecha. So just like we darshan Ma, Psalton Shalach, just like we darshan that the Psalus of the Luchos gets to stay with Moshe Rabbeinu, Af Ksav and Shalcha, so to the Ksav of the Torah itself is only given to Moshe Rabbeinu. But Moshe Nog Batovasai, and Moshe was so generous in the son of the Yisrael that he decided to share it with Klal Yisrael. Valavakos Vomer, Tov Ayin Hu Yivarach, and the Pasuk continues, Kinosan Milach Maladol, that someone who's very generous is going to be blessed. And Moshe Rabbeinu was extremely generous in sharing the Torah with Klal Yisrael. What on earth does this mean? Meaning, how could one possibly have a havamina that Moshe Rabbeinu was that the Torah initially was not given to Klal Yisrael, only to Moshe Rabbeinu? So the Marsha writes that it's not about the mitzvos haTorah; it's about limud haTorah. The kiyum mitzvos haTorah certainly milchadchila was given to Klal Yisrael, but we thought that the lomdim was only going to be Moshe Rabbeinu and his family. Kamash Milan, we are all lomdei Torah. That limud haTorah is given to everybody. Shidum Betzas writes in the name of the Re'eim a little bit differently, that even though it was given to all of Klal Yisrael, but we would have not had the rights to be mefarish the chukim and the mitzvos based on our own understanding, that everything that we, any suffix we had, we would have had to bring to Moshe Rabbeinu to say, okay, what do we do now? And once Moshe Rabbeinu is no longer there, his offspring, his children, the Shevet HaKohanim and Valavim, would be the ones that we would need to consult with in order to be able to understand the Torah. So that's why we ask from Va'osi Tziva Hashem L'lamed Eschem. It sounds like Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to teach it to them and to explain to them what the mitzvahs were all about, so that they won't need to have to ask Bishas Maisa. That's why the Gemara is going to challenge from that pasuk. So the Gemara is going to answer that Moshe taught them me'atzmo. Hashem didn't tell him that he has to do that, but he gave them the know-how to interpret the Torah and to be able to be poshet sveikos in halacha, that you don't need a Moshe Rabbeinu. All you need to do is become a Talmud Chacham. And if you become a Talmud Chacham, you'll be able to be poshet sveikos on your own in halacha. So that's Shidim Gubetzes, that the mitzvot HaTorah certainly were meant for all the Klal Yisrael. Limud HaTorah was meant for all the Klal Yisrael, but the ability to be machriya halacha, that initially was not meant for all the Klal Yisrael, and that Moshe Rabbeinu gave to us. He gave us that know-how in being machriya halacha. And then it became the Ikar of Talmud Torah. The Ikar of Talmud Torah is the Sukkah Shemaitza Ali B'dehilcha. So it became our primary connection to Talmud Torah. The Chasam Sofer says that the way the Gemara is understanding right now is that the Torah initially was only meant to be taught bal peh by everybody else. Only Moshe Rabbeinu was able to teach mitoch haksav, and that's what changed. Okay, but something is, you have to make some modification of this hava amina. That there's a hava amina that only Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not possible. The another kasha that the Marsha deals with over here is, we say, how do I know that? Where do I get this idea from that it was only meant for Moshe Rabbeinu? Because it says ksav lecha, it says psal lecha. So just like psal lecha is only for him, ksav lecha is only for him. So asks the Marsha, wait, from psal lecha, I know it's only from, just because it uses the word lecha, that was enough of a limud. Why do I need a comparison between ksav lecha and psal lecha to tell me that ksav lecha means it's only for him? Just the fact that it says lecha should teach me that it's only for him. Why the comparison? So the Marsha says, had it only said ksav lecha, we would not have explained that it has to be only for Moshe Rabbeinu. We would have explained that it means lecha misha lecha, that you have to use your own ink, your own quill, your own everything. You have to, just like when the pasuk says, asei lecha shtei chatzotzos kesef, so we dash drasha mishalecha, that it's got to be from you. So the Gemara has to quote the drasha of psalecha, where it wasn't mishalecha, meaning adrabah, he got to keep the leftovers, and that's where he got rich, but it wasn't his own stone. So we know that wasn't mishalecha. So just like psalecha wasn't mishalecha, it's that you get to keep it. It's that it's just for you. It's exclusive for you. So to ksavlecha is exclusive for you. That's how the Marsha understands. So anyway, the Gemara challenges this hava. I mean, a masav Rav Chisa. Rav Chisa asks on this memra. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael, "Va'ositzi va'Hashem be'isahi lilamed eschem." Hashem commanded me to teach you. So you see that it wasn't meant only for Moshe Rabbeinu. It wasn't his own generosity by teaching them. Hashem told him to. So it says more. Now the way to read it is "Va'ositzi va." Hashem commanded me. And then va'ani lechem, and I decided lilamed eschem. I decided to teach you. And then the Gemara goes back and asks a second kasha, but it says re'ei limadti eschem chukim mishpatim kasher tzivani Hashem elokai, that I'm teaching you Torah just as Hashem had commanded me. So you see that Hashem had commanded him to teach it to all the Klal Yisrael. Says the Gemara, no, osi tziva. Hashem commanded me in all the chukim mishpatim va'ani lachem, and I, with my own tovasayin, decided to share it with you. A third kasha, v'yata kisvu lachem es hashira azos. So we see that Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded to write the entire Torah. It must be that it wasn't only meant for him, it was for all the Klal Yisrael. So the Gemara says, that's not a raya, that Kol HaTorah was for all the Klal Yisrael, because all it says is Hashira Azos. Hashira L'chuda, it could be that only Shiras HaAzinu, because that was given to all the Klal Yisrael, but the rest of the Torah was only given to Moshe Rabbeinu. So says the Gemara, that can't be. That can't be what it means. Hashira Azos can't mean only Shiras HaAzinu, because the Pasuk goes on to say, L'mantia li Hashira Azos L'eid b'vnei Yisrael. So you see that it's talking about the whole Torah, that the mitzvahs are in the Torah are going to be in edus on Bnei Yisrael, that if they don't observe them, they're going to be punished. Because if it's only talking about the Shiras HaAzinu, what sort of edus is that? So it must be that based on that kasha, the Gemara says we have to change our original Havana that Moshe Rabbeinu was the only one who received the Torah, and it must be that the Torah was given to all the Klal Yisrael. Ella pilpula bi'alma. When we say that it was only given to Moshe and not to all of Klal Yisrael, that just means pilpula bi'alma. The pilpul of Limud HaTorah was given only to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he was knowing Tovasayin on that pilpula bi'alma, and he gave that pilpul to Klal Yisrael. What does that mean? What is the pilpula bi'alma? So the Rush writes that when it says ksavan shalcha, it means the chachma, the seichel that are ramos in the ksav haTorah, in the tzuras haosios of the Torah, that was given only initially to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he gave that chachma of understanding the tzuras haosios, understanding the chachma in that, right? That's what we were discussing yesterday, whether there's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah in learning aleph beis, the Yafsei Berachos haTorah, learning aleph beis. Yes, there's something in the letters of the Torah himself, the tzuras of the osios themselves, that one can delve deeply into. The Marsha says that since the limud that the Torah was only given to Moshe Rabbeinu is from the hekish of tupsalucha, from ksavucha to psalucha, so just like psalucha, Moshe Rabbeinu received the psoles, which remains after the luchos were chiseled and not the actual gufa luchos. So ksavucha is in the maskaras haGemara is explained to be talking about only the pilpul, only the havanas davar mitoch davar, and not the guf haTorah itself. So now it's a more precise comparison between ksavlucha and psalucha, says the Marsha. That psalucha meant not the actual luchos, that didn't belong to Moshe Rabbeinu, it was only what came off of the luchos, only the external, that which was outside of the luchos, that which was beyond the luchos. So too, by the ksavlucha, it's only the havanas davar mitoch davar, the pilpul bi'alma, that was meant only for Moshe Rabbeinu, and he shared that pilpul with Klal Yisrael. Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Eino Kodesh Baruch Hu Mashu Shechinaso, Ela Al Gibor, V'Ashir, V'Chacham, V'Anav. Four qualities that a person needs in order to be a Navi. He needs to be strong, he needs to be wealthy, he needs to be wise, and he needs to be humble. Now, before we get into the Rayas, Kula and Mimosha, we learn all of these things from Moshe Rabbeinu, just the idea itself is so troubling. Meaning, I understand a Maila like Anav, a Maila in Ruchnius, that a person is an Anav, makes a lot of sense. Chacham, I get that a person needs to have a certain level of intellect in order to be a Navi, perhaps. But it really matters if he's a gibor or if he's an ashir, how much time he spends in the gym, how much money he has in his bank account. Why on earth would that matter in terms of a person's capacity for nevuah? So many, many achronim, the Chasam Sofer and the Ben Yoyada and the Irin Yaakov, many achronim say that inherently there's no value to any of these things, to chacham, gibor, and ashir. They're all to build up the anivus, that the only one that matters is an anav. But if a person is poor, and he's weak, and he's stupid, so is it so hard to be an anav? The whole world of, looks at him as a nobody, and he is a nobody, so he sees himself as a nobody. When you know when it's hard to be an anav, when he's the richest guy in town, and he's the smartest guy in town, and he's the strongest guy in town, he's the most powerful person in town, then when the whole world is looking at him like he's God's gift to humanity, and he doesn't look at himself that way, that's anivus. So the others just build up that one sense of anivus. That is true anivus. Drashas Haran has a different take. He says that the Navi has to be someone who possesses all of these qualities, because if you're going to present Klal Yisrael with the Dvar Hashem, you have to present it in a kli that is beautiful, that they can appreciate the value and the magnificence of it. And not everybody can appreciate spirituality on its surface, meaning that in order for certain people respect different things. There are a lot of people that respect Gvura. There are a lot more people that respect Ashirus. There are people that respect Chachma. And in order for a person to receive the Dvar Hashem from someone that they respect, he has to have all of the qualities that people respect. So once he has all the qualities that people respect, it will make all the people that are receiving the Dvar Hashem more receptive to the Dvar Hashem. And that's why the Navi has to have all of those qualities. Those are the standard shitos. The Rambam in Hilchos Yisrael Torah, Perek Zayin Halacha Aleph, has a third shita, which on its surface sounds great, but it doesn't fit with our Gemara at all. And the Rambam says, what do you mean? Gibor doesn't mean that he's actually powerful. Chacham doesn't mean that he has great intellectual capacity. Ashir doesn't mean that he has a lot of money in the bank. The Mishnayos and Pirkei Avos tell us what all these things mean. Ezu Ashir, Hasameach Bechalko. Ezu Chacham, Halom Mikol Adam. Ezu Gibor, Hakovish is Yitzro. That's what it means. All of these are all qualities in Ruchnius. None of these are what they seem at the surface. So because the Mishnah says Rambam is solving a big problem by saying this, but he's creating another big problem because he's against the Gemara that we're about to read, that proves that you need to be a Gibor and a Chacham and an Ashir. Don't talk about someone who's Kovish is Yitzro and someone who's Sameach Bechalko. It talks about what people call Gibor Chacham and Ashir. So because Mishnah says the Rambam must be saying this on his own. Not he's not Meshubat to this Gemara. He's not paraphrasing this Gemara. He's really saying this as his own idea, as his own Chiddush. Marshal also writes, the fact that we learn all this from Moshe Rabbeinu is because the Pasuk says, Navi mikir b'cha me'achicha kamoni yakim l'cha Hashem elokecha. So we learn that all of the Navim have to be kamoni, have to be like Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's why the Gemara says, that how do I know a Navi has to be a Gibor, Ashur, Chacham, Anav? Kulan mimosha. We learn them all from Moshe Rabbeinu, because he had all of these milos. So let's see, how do I know that he had all these milos? Gibor, how do I know Moshe Rabbeinu was a Gibor? Ditziv ve'yifrosa sa'oel al mishkan, that he managed to spread the OL over the Mishkan. Vamar Moshe Rabbeinu Prasa, Moshe Rabbeinu himself was one that spread the curtain over the Mishkan. Uksiv Esra Amos Aruch HaKeresh. Mishkan was really tall, it was 10 Amos tall. So if Moshe Rabbeinu was spreading it over the Mishkan, it means that he was at least 10 Amos tall. And if he was 10 Amos tall, I would assume that if proportionally he was so much taller, the average person is 3 Amos tall. So if he's proportionally more than three times larger than the average person, I would imagine his muscles were more than three times larger than the average person. So mainly, he must have been extremely strong. So says Mar, Imadarach v'katan. You ever see super, super, duper tall people? Typically, their muscles aren't so big. They're like these long, lanky people that don't have such muscle tone. So maybe Moshe Rabbeinu was just very, very tall, but he didn't have any gvura. So the Rush says, I don't understand. Why are we deriving from how tall he must have been in order to spread the curtain over the Mishkan? He also erected the Mishkan. He also picked up all the boards of the Mishkan. These were gigantic, heavy boards that he put up himself. Why don't we just derive from that? Why is the Gemara chasing down this source for his Gevurah? So the Marsha suggests, based on the Medrash, Rashi and Chumash quotes a Medrash, that Moshe Rabbeinu saw these boards and he said, Eich efshal lakimo al yedei Adam. How is a human being supposed to put this up? Amar Hashem, asok biyodcha v'tire v'makimo v'niskaf v'kameh me'elav. The Hashem said, do it, you try, and the rest will happen. And he started trying to lift it, and then it lifted itself. So Moshe Rabbeinu didn't use his Gevurah in order to be able to erect the Mishkan. Adrabah, he seemed incapable of putting it up in a natural way with his own Gevurah. So Ella, how do I know Moshe Rabbeinu was a Gibor? Min Hadenkra, from the following pasuk. Tichsiv, etpos b'shnei aluchos, v'ashlichei me'al shtei yadai, v'ashabrein. The Moshe Rabbeinu grabbed the two luchos, he threw them, and he smashed them. V'tanya aluchos arkon shisha, v'rach van shisha, v'avyan shlosha. These were big blocks of stone, six tvachim by six tvachim by three tvachim, and stone is very, very heavy, and since he had to get some force to throw it down to the ground to break them, you see that he was able to generate that force on these heavy blocks of stone. That's how Tosfos understands. Now in the Sefer Shalmei Nedarim, he says, what kind of raya is that for the Gevura of Moshe Rabbeinu, the fact that he was able to throw them to the ground and break them? I could also throw them to the ground and break them. You put them in my hand, I'll immediately drop them, and their weight will be so heavy that the gravity will break them. It will come down with such force that they're going to break. So Shidu Gwetz's quotes from the Ritz that the Gemara learns from the Pasuk, the Moshe Rabbeinu broke the luchos before he threw them to the ground. Wow, a little bit of a different limud of the Pasuk. The Moshe Rabbeinu crushed them in his hands and then threw them to the ground. That's Gevurah, that he took rock and he just crushed the rock in his own hands. Shidu Gvetzis then quotes from the Re'eim that the Raya of the Gemara about Moshe Rabbeinu's Gevurah was the fact that he was able to hold them in the first place. It wasn't that he threw them to the ground, we could all drop them, but the fact that he was holding these heavy stones in the first place, that tells you about Moshe Rabbeinu's Gevurah. Okay, so somehow we learn from there Moshe Rabbeinu's Gevurah. Ashir, how do I know the Moshe Rabbeinu was an Ashir? Well, we just did that. Psalucha, Psaltam Shel Chayehe. We learned that that he got to keep the psalas of the Luchos, so that tells me that he must have been very wealthy. Asks Rabbi Yaakov Emden, how do you see from there that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was only Mashra Shechinaso on someone who's an Ashir? Wasn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu already Mashra Shechinaso Moshe Rabbeinu before he made the Luchos? Already at the burning bush? Already, I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu's been talking to God for a while already. And he didn't become wealthy until Psalucha. That was much later on. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes that Rashi and Chumash, it tries to protect himself from this Kasha. And he says that Mipsola Shaluchos, Rashi and Chumash writes, Moshe Rabbeinu was Nisasher Harbe. He became very wealthy, implying that up until that time, he was moderately wealthy. But then, so he was moderately wealthy, and then he had his big, his big windfall. That was when he was, when he chiseled out the Luchos. However, from the Gemara, it didn't sound that way, because Gemara says, Lo Heshir Moshe Elami Psoltan Shaluchos, that he only achieved wealth through the psolas of the Luchos. Sounds like he was not wealthy beforehand. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden says, I see what Rashi's trying to do, but I don't think that's the Pashup Shad in the Gemara. So therefore, Rabbi Yaakov Emden says that the Iker Ashirus really that a person has is Bidas, meaning that if you teach a man to fish, right, that kind of thing, that if a person develops his Chachma, so then, he's omed to achieve wealth. If he doesn't develop any chachma, and he doesn't develop any know-how to do anything that's in demand, that's going to make people want it, so then he's not omed for wealth. So the ashirus that he had all along was b'chachma, and he had so much chachma that it was, no one was surprised that was a person who became wealthy. That it's natural that a person who has chachma becomes wealthy, right? That's what the Gemara in the second paragraph of Basra says. The Gemara says, Harotza lahachkin yadrim, if you want to become a chacham, you should face south. Harotza lahashir yatzbin. So one day in the Gemara says, no, don't face north if you want to become wealthy. Face south and you'll have chachma, and then you'll use your chachma to become wealthy. Meaning chachma is a way that a person can, it's the shortest path, or the most likely path to achieve wealth. Okay, so that's how I know Moshe Rabbeinu was an Ashir. Chacham, how do I know that he was a Chacham? So Rabbi Shmuel Darmi Tervayu, Chamishim Shari Bina Nivru Ba'olam V'kulam Nitnu L'Moshe Chasar Achas. There are 50 levels of Bina, 50 gates of Bina in this world. Moshe Rabbeinu had all of them except for one. Shenemar V'techsreyu Ma'at Me'elokim. That Ma'at is that last Shar Bina that he lacked in his understanding of the Ribbono Shel Olam, just that one little bit. So he achieved the greatest understanding of the Ribbono Shel Olam that anyone ever did. Anav, how do I know he's an Anav? Well, that's Beferish in the Pasuk. Dichsiv, Va'ish Moshe, Anav Ma'od. The Torah itself testifies that he was an Anav. Amar Yochanan, Kol Neviim Ashirim Hayu Minalan. How do I know that all Neviim were Ashirim? Mi Moshe, Mi Shmuel, Mi Amos, Mi Yonah. Because we know about these four that they were Ashirim, and therefore we could derive that all other Neviim were also Ashirim. Moshe, Dichsiv, how do I know Moshe Rabbeinu was an Ashir? So instead of going with what we've been saying until now, the Gemara has a new drasha, because the pasuk says Lo Chabor Echad Me'em Nasasi. Moshe Rabbeinu says that he didn't take from Korach Va'adaso even a single chamor. So Iblo Agra, if he's saying that I didn't take anything for free, Lafuke Man de Shakal Blo Agra, is he coming to exclude someone who would take something for free? If you take something for free, there's a word for that. It's a gazlan, right? I mean, if you take something that without providing any goods or services, and you just take from other people, so that's a gazlan. Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't be bragging, oh, by the way, I'm not a gazlan. Ela Dafilu Ba'agra means that he didn't even pay for it. He didn't take anything from people. So he must have been independently wealthy, otherwise how would he have had what he needs? So says Maritomshumdaniava. Or maybe he was very poor, and because he was so poor, he couldn't afford to get anything from anybody. So Ella Psalucha, Psalton min Psalucha, Psalton Yehishalucha. No, we go back to our original drasha. How do I know Moshe Rabbeinu was wealthy? Because Psalucha, that he gets to keep the Psalas of the Luchos. Shmuel, how do I know that Shmuel was wealthy? Duchsiv, Hinni Anuvi Negan Hashem Negan Mishicho, as Shormi Lakachti, Vichamormi Lakachti. Shmuel Hanavi is saying, I never took from Bnei Yisrael a single Shor or a single Chamar. And again, if he means that he never took it for nothing, what he's saying, that he's not a gazlan, of course he didn't take anything for nothing, that he didn't even pay for it. So you see that he must have been an usher and he had everything that he needed independently. So Gemara says, but again, that doesn't tell you he was an usher, it just tells you that he didn't rent out other people's animals or buy other people's animals. Either it couldn't be that he was an usher, but it could just as easily, it's just as plausible that he was an ani and he couldn't afford it. So Ella may. So says the Gemara, I bring a raya from the following pasuk. Uchuvaso Ramasa Kisham Beso, that he returned to Rama because that's where his house was. So Va'amar Rava, and Rava explains the pasuk, it doesn't mean Kisham Beso, that's why he returned to Rama, that he returned to Rama because that's where his house was. No, it goes on the pasuk before that, where the pasuk says, Vahalach Mideshana Bishana Vesava Besel Vagilgo Vamitzvah Vishavat Yisrael Eskala Makamusa Eila. So even as he was being Mistovev and he was judging all of Klal Yisrael, everywhere he would travel around, all over the place. Kol Makom Shahalach Beso Imo. Visham Beso is not in Rama where he returned. It's not that he was staying at hotels all wherever he traveled. He had a home everywhere. He had houses in every country, in every city, in every place. So wherever he went, he had a house. Oh, that's Ashirus. So you see that he was a wealthy person. So Amar Rava Galu Mashenemer B'Shmuel. The praise of Shmuel is Yosef Mishenemer Moshe more than the Shevach that said about Moshe Rabbeinu. Medil B'Moshe Rabbeinu Ksiv Lo Chamor Echad Mehem Nasasi Dafilu B'Sachar, that he didn't even pay to rent a donkey from anyone. But it sounds like if they would have insisted that he rent, then he would have taken it. Even if the maskir would insist on it, Shmuel wouldn't take it. Means even if we were begging you, we were trying to be meratzu you, please take it, he still refused. He absolutely refused to have anything from anybody else. Amos, how do I know that Amos was wealthy? D'chsiv, v'yan Amos v'yomer el amatzia lo navi anochi v'lo ben navi anochi ki voker anochi uvolim shkamim. So what does it mean? Because the Metagim Rav Yosef, ari mari geisei ana, that I have a lot of tzonu bakar ushkamili b'shvalta, and I have atzei shikma in certain locations. So he's describing what he has. He's describing his wealth. The context is that they said that he was a Navi Sheker and he was a Misnave just to make money. So that's why Amos says back to Amatzia, it's not true. I'm not a Navi Sheker, because what I don't need it for parnasa. I don't need to be a navi sheker for parnasa. I'm already wealthy, so that's not. I wouldn't be going into the navi sheker business. So my nevuah is for real. So what, you think lo navi anochi? That I'm not a navi. I am a navi. Yonah tuchsev. How do I know that Yonah was wealthy? Because the pasuk says when he was running away to Tarshish, when he was going into the boat, vayitein tschara vayered ba. Am Rabbi Yochanan, notice how it says that he paid tschara, shenasan tschara shel sfina kula. Why doesn't it say vayitein tschara? He paid his fare for the boat. So no, you see that he paid tschara kula. He paid for the fare of the entire boat. Am Rabbi Ramana, tschara shel sfina v'abar salafim dinari da'ava. And that was 4,000 dinari zav, which was a lot of money. So he must have been a very wealthy person that he was able to afford to pay for the tschara of the whole boat. The Marsha says, why would he do that? Just pay your fare and get on the boat. So it must be that they were waiting to sell out. So you gather, there were a couple of people there, and it would, you know, it was a giant cruise liner, and they're waiting to get all these people on the boat. So Yonah said, I'll just pay for everything. So he chartered the boat on his own. He took like a private plane, and he brought a bunch of people on. So that's very expensive. He was a wealthy person. And the reason he did that was because he needed to get away. he was running, so he needed to go. He didn't have time to wait. Initially, when Moshe Rabbeinu would learn Torah, he would immediately forget it until Hashem gave it to him as a matana at the end of the 40 days. So for 39 and a half days, he's sitting there learning and forgetting and learning and forgetting and learning and forgetting. 40th day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it's yours. And it just is given to him a matana. Shnemar, v'yitein al Moshe k'chalasol daberito. That it was at the end, that it was nos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was no save to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Yerushalmi in the third parak of Horio says that the reason Hashem did this, that to make him forget it right away, was l'hachziris hatipshin. What does it mean? Lahachzirus atipshim, says the Pnei Moshe, to encourage those who grow frustrated with the fact that all the Torah we learn goes in one ear and out the other, that we forget our learning so much. So to give us chizuk, Moshe Rabbeinu had a similar experience when he started learning Torah. But you stick with it, and eventually you'll figure out how to maintain more of your Torah learning. Okay, so now the Mishnah continues in what a mudar ana is and is not allowed to do for somebody else. Vizan es ishto, a madir ana is allowed to support as ishto as banav of the mudar, even though the mudar is really the one that's supposed to be supporting his wife and children. So it turns out that the mudar is getting benefit from, because this guy is being parei eschavo, he's supporting his wife and his children. So now the whole reason I work, the whole reason I make money is to support my wife and children. Now I don't need to, because this guy's taking care of it. Nevertheless, that's mutar to do, because the madir is not doing it in order to pay off the chovos of the mudar, to make the mudar's life easier. He's doing it because it's a mitzvah tzedakah, and therefore it's not called that he's being mahanahim, it's only a gram hana'ah, it's only indirect, and therefore that's going to be mutter. But velo yozim es behemto, but he cannot provide mizonos for the behema of the mudar, bein tameh bein torah, whether it be a kosher or non-kosher animal, because when you're feeding the animal is going to go up in value because it's going to be more robust and healthy. Reb Lazar omer zonos hatameya veino zonos hatorah. Reb Eliezer says that he could feed the non-kosher animal of the fellow because he's never going to eat that animal anyway, so the fact that it's fatter and is a meatier animal is not going to be helpful to him. But he cannot feed the behemah tahora because the person is going to be able to eat that animal, and therefore he's going to have more meat. The more you feed it, the more meat that the mudar hana is going to have. So Amlo the Chum said back to Rabbi Eliezer, ma bein tamei l'tahora? Why should there be a difference between behemah tamei and behemah tahora? So Amlo, Rabbi Eliezer responded, big difference. Shatora nafshel shemayim v'kufa shelo. The nefesh of the behemah tahora goes to shemayim, you'll shecht it, but the guf you get to keep. So, but whereas the tumeya nafsho viguf al shemayim, you don't get to keep any of it. You don't get to eat the guf either. You don't get to eat the meat either. So the fact that it gets fatter is of no benefit to the fellow. So Amalot the Chum said back, af tumeya nafsho al shemayim viguf shalom. What do you mean? Of course you benefit from a more robust animal. Shem yirtza hari mochalav chavim machilu klavim. Because if you want, you could sell a behema tumeya to a non-Jew. You could feed it to a dog, and that means less dog food that you're going to have to buy in the store that week. I mean, you're going to get benefit from the fact that it's a meatier that it's a meteor animal, and therefore you're not allowed to, if there's a neder anah, you're not allowed to feed the behemoth of the mudar, even if it's a behemoth tamea. So now the Gemara just mentions a totally different case. Amar Avitzah bar Chananya Amar Rav Huna, hamudar anah mechaveru mutar lasi lo bito. You can make a shidduch between a father-in-law and son-in-law where there's a neder anah. So Avi bar Rabbi Zera b'maya skinan, who's mudar anah from who? I lema b'shenichse avi kala asurin ala chasan. If it's that the avi akala was madir the chasan, that he's not allowed to get hana from any of his nechasim. So why is Rav Huna allow such a shidduch? Harei mosalo shivcha l'shamsho. He's giving over his daughter to make the son-in-law's life so much easier. So that's certainly getting hana when the guy gets married. Now he has someone around the house to help with everything. So ella, so it must be that we're talking about not where the nedra hana goes in that direction, but in the other direction. B'nichse chasan asurin alavi kala. Where it's the chasim was madir the aviyah kala from his nechasim, and that's where Rav Huna allows the aviyah kala to marry off the daughter to that to the madir, even though there may be some hana because the chasim is now going to be obligated to support her, which was the father's responsibility up until this point. But says Gemara, but then what's the chiddush? Gedolim Yisrael Amru. We have an even bigger chiddush that zanes ishtov es banav. Our Mishnah said you're allowed to support the guy's wife and children right now that live in his house and that he's really obligated to support. Where he's chayv in the mizonos. So of course you let him marry his daughter. Meaning the whole havamina not to be allowed to marry his daughter is that then you're going to be supporting or taking that obligation of support off of his hands. You're even allowed to support the people that are still living in his house that are that he's obligated to support. So it's a kal v'chomer from our Mishnah Kolshkein that you'd be allowed to do this. So what would be the chiddush? What's Rav Huna's chiddush? So says Mar Li Olam v'shenichse avi kala asur na lechasan. No, we're talking about a case where the avi kala's lechasan are asur for the chasan. What about the fact that the chasan is going to be benefiting from the avikala because he's giving her a shivcha, he's giving him a shivcha l'shamshcho, ubita bagaris umidaita. The father's not giving anything. The daughter's already an adult. She's deciding to marry on her own. So the father's not giving him enochinami. He's going to get great hana from the fact that he now has a wife and he's now going to be sharing his home with somebody. But that's not coming from the father-in-law. It's coming from her. Tanya nami achim. We have a brice that supports that amudra nami chaveru asu lahasi lo bito aval masi ubita bagaris umidaita. That a brisa makes that exact chiluk, that you may not be allowed to marry your daughter off to a mudrana, but you're allowed to, the daughter, if she's a bogeres, is allowed to choose to marry him on his own. So now the Gemara says other cases where a madir is allowed, things that a madir is allowed to do for a mudar. So Amar Rabbi Yaakov, Hamadir b'no l'talmud Torah. If a person took a neder that his son is going to be dedicated for Talmud Torah, no malacha, he's never going to work. I just want him to learn all day and all night. So he took a neder that he's not going to get any anah from the son because he doesn't want to be mevatel the child from Talmud Torah. Here the father can't take a neder that the child is never going to do anything other than Talmud Torah. That's up to the kid. That's what Varun Lapiansky said, that once a father came to him and he was pressuring his son so much and the kid was falling apart, the father was putting so much pressure. And Varun said to the guy, what are you doing? Why are you putting so much pressure on your son? He said, I want my son to be the next Rav Chaim Kanievsky. So he said to him, I have a better idea. Why don't you become the next Rav Chaim Kanievsky? You can't decide that your son is going to be the next Rav Chaim Kanievsky, but what you can do is you could say that I'm never going to ask him to do anything. That if he's in yeshiva and he's learning, I'm never going to bother him. So what's the mutter lemalus l'chavish l'mayim? The son could fill up a barrel of water for the father with the hadlik l'osaner, and he could light a candle for him because these are small things that are not really going to be mevatalim from Talmud Torah. The father really meant major malachos. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar litzel sodak katan, that the son could also roast a small fish for him. Amar Rabbi Amar Rabbi Yochanan mudar ana mechavero mutter l'ashkoso kos shel shalom. That someone's mudar ana mechavero could feed him a kos shel shalom. What is that? My nihu. What is a kos shel shalom? So hachatar gimo kos shel beis ha'evel, that they would be give a kos shel yayin to avelim, that lo nivra yayin el nachim bos avelim. B'marava amrin aritzol, they said kos shel shalom means kos shel beis ha'merchatz, that they would drink after they left the merchatz. That was called the kos shel shalom because they used to get together in a chabura of people after leaving the merchatz. So so and the reason for the heter is because of Darkei Shalom, and then he didn't include such a neder to withhold Darkei Shalom from him. V'loyazin es behemto. So we had said in the Mishnah that you're not allowed to feed his animal, whether it's a kosher or non-kosher animal. If you're not allowed to give him anah, you cannot feed his animal. Whereas Rabbi Lezer said his non-kosher animal you could feed, just not his kosher animal. So Gemara brings a brisa that's a raya to the chachamim that even a non-kosher animal you're not allowed to feed. Tanya, Yoshua ish uza amar zon avada v'shivchos of akananim. You're allowed to feed his avadim and shvachos akananim. V'lo yazin behemto bein tamea bein tohora. But you're not allowed to feed his animals whether they are kosher or non-kosher, like the chachamim said. So my time, I asked the Gemara, what's the chiluk between his avadim and his shvachos that you're allowed to feed them even more than they necessarily need, and behemos of the mudar that you're not allowed to feed them even more than their basic bare sustenance? That's the assumption of Rav Rishonim over here, that we're not talking about feeding them their bare sustenance, because that certainly is giving him anah, that they're going to be able to survive. It means giving them more than the bare sustenance. So why would it be mutar to feed avadav shivchosav hakananim, but not his behemos? Answers Gemara: avadav shivchosav hakananim l'menachrusa avidan. That after they die, the bailim is not going to get any hana'ah from their flesh. They're like behemos luchuros. They're asur ba'achila. They're like behemos that were killed not with shechita, where you can't eat them anyway. So avadim and shvachos, obviously we're not cannibals. We don't eat them. So the extra flesh doesn't help us at all. So there's no hana'a whatsoever to the fact that they're fattened. Adrabah, sometimes it's less hana'a because they may not be able to. They may be more lazy. They may be more tired. They may not be able to do as much work. So it's less hana'a. Whereas behema lefituma avid. A behema, you want to fatten the behema because then it's going to be more basar from that behema. Okay, but from tomorrow we'll pick up at the mission on the bottom of the Chesed Beis. Everyone have a great day and a wonderful Shabbos.